जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, जय यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, जय यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, 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 ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4, Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 10, Dhruva Maharaja's Fight with the Yakshas. Text 10. Te pichamum amrishyanta padasparsham yivodaka sharayara vidhyan yugapad dvigunam prachikirshava. Just like serpents who cannot tolerate being trampled upon by anyone's feet, the yakshas, being intolerant of the wonderful prowess of Dhruva Maharaj, threw twice as many arrows, 6 from each of their soldiers, and thus they were valiantly exhibiting their prowess. Dhruva had thrown 3 arrows at a time, and they are now throwing 6. Texts 11 and 12. Tata pariga nishtringshai prashashuda parashvadhai Shakdrishbhir Bhushundhibhish Chitravajay Sharayarapi Abhyavarshan Prayuk Prakupita Saratham Sahasaratim Ichantastat Pratikartam Ayutanam Tayu Trayodasha. The Yaksha's soldiers were 130,000 strong, all greatly angry, and all desiring to defeat the wonderful activities of Dhruva Maharaj. With full strength, they showered upon Maharaj Dhruva, along with his chariot and charioteers, various types of feathered arrows, parighas, iron bludgeons, nistringshas, swords, prashashulas, tridents, parashvadhas, lances, shaktis, pikes, rishtis, spears, and bhushundi weapons. Text 13. Autana padhi satada shastra varshena bhurina na eva drishyata channa asarena yatagiri. Word for word. Autana padhi Dhruva Maharaj saha he tada, at that time, shastravarshena, by a shower of weapons, bhurina, incessant, na, not, eva, certainly, adrishyata, was visible, achanna, being covered, asarena, by constant rainfall, yata, as, girihi, a mountain. Translation: Dhruva Maharaj was completely covered by an incessant shower of weapons, just as a mountain is covered by incessant rainfall. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out in this connection that although Dhruva Maharaj was covered by the incessant arrows of the enemy, this does not mean that he succumbed in the battle. The example of a mountain peaks being covered by incessant rain is just suitable, for when a mountain is covered by incessant rain, all dirty things are washed from the body of the mountain. Similarly, the incessant shower of arrows from the enemy gave Dhruva Maharaj new vigor to defeat them. In other words, whatever incompetency he might have had was washed away. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurubhe Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutadehe Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapada Kamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam, Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadhutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindha, Dina bandhu jagatpate Gopesha gopika kanta Radha kanta namostute Tapta kanchana gorangi Radhe vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu sute devi Pranamami hari priye Vancha kalpaturubhyascha Kripa sindhobhya evacha Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Autana Padai Satada Shastravarshena Bhurina Na Ivadrishyatachana Asarina Yatagiri Shastravarshena Bhurina. The shower of weapons was coming down on Dhruva Maharaj, and just as a mountain is purified by incessant rain on its peak, in the same way, when Dhruva was being showered with weapons, he was purified. This is a captivating visual description of Dhruva Maharaj's situation, which should entrance us, should bring our minds into the Leela so that we can forget about our material body, forget about our mind, forget about all of the things that have happened to us in the past and which we let define our present moment. And it should bring us to a transcendental platform where we can understand that just like Dhruva Maharaj is being challenged and purified by that challenge, that we are also put in so many situations which test our, which purify us by pain. Pain is meant to purify us from the misconception that I can be comfortable in this world. Radical pain is one thing which will turn every person to God. In the foxhole, there are no atheists. Everyone prays to God when they know death is immediately coming. So this is the great benediction of extreme pain. We have been given so many advices by our acharyas how we can engage our every moment in devotional service through the processes of hearing and chanting, through deity worship, through offering the results of our work to Krishna, so Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, through Narada Pancharatrika Vidhi, and Yat Kuroshi Yat Ashnasi Yat Jahoshi Dadasi Yat Tapasasi Konteya Tat Kurushva Madarpanam. These various methods are prescribed so that we can be Krishna conscious now without having to wait until misery comes and forces us to be Krishna conscious. So we can take the humble position voluntarily instead of waiting until we are humbled by force of getting busted up. Dhruva Maharaj he wanted a kingdom when he began his devotional service. He had anger toward his stepmother, Suruchi, and he was letting this anger define who he was. When the Yakshas killed his brother Uttama, that same anger which had driven him toward personal protection when his stepmother threatened his position as the king, now that anger was coming out again, but not toward himself, but anger for the benefit of his brother. So while this is more noble, we should understand that if our conception of family is limited to bodily relationships, even that more noble kind of anger is not complete. It's not the perfect type of anger. The only real anger, which is appropriate in spiritual life, is anger that I'm not yet a pure devotee. How will I ever overcome my nonsense habits, my self-destructive patterns, which are drawing me, which are binding me, shackling me into the bodily conception of life, the mental conception of life, identifying myself as a body made of blood and bones and muscles, or as a mind which is defined by political or emotional experiences in the past, affiliations, promises that I've made about the future. These kinds of material designations will never lead anywhere except for misery, because the result is because the subject matter is not Krishna. Krishna is the only source of happiness. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho, he's the ocean of mercy. So surrendering unto that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, the son of Yashoda and Maharaj and Nanda, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, will bring about transcendental happiness. Now, in the beginning, we are not qualified to see Krishna face to face. Therefore, we have to qualify ourselves by the standard process of sadhana bhakti, which is given by our acharyas. And this process involves a lot of pain, because we are diseased with jaundice. So we have to take the medicine, which is actually sugar candy. It's very sweet. This chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That Krishna that I just chanted, it may be the absolute truth, Sri Krishna, but I can't realize it because I'm fallen soul. It's the same Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that Srila Prabhupada chants, same Hare Krishna Mantra that all the great pure devotees are chanting. But when they chant it, it's actually Krishna fully manifested in the sound of Shuddha Nam, the pure name. But I'm offending the holy name because I'm seeing it materially. I'm thinking that the holy name is some material sound vibration. Mentally, I may not be thinking of that, but because I'm not understanding what it really is, I'm not having proper darshan of the holy name. I'm not able to see it. I'm blind. Therefore, I do have a misconception, because there's no possibility of having no conception. Our conception of the holy name may be directly manifested in our thoughts, or it may just be a subliminal impression that we have of the holy name, or a subliminal way of relating, a relationship, a habit, of a pattern of chanting inattentively. That inattentive chanting is actually revealing to us that we do not properly understand who is the holy name. Namachintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shudho Nitya Mukto Abhinatvam Nama Namino. The holy name is Krishna himself, but we can't realize it. Therefore, we are... why? Because we are in the material, bodily, and mental conception of the self, and therefore sadhana hurts. And that pain of being forced again and again to confront the holy name of Krishna, even though we are accustomed only to sense gratification, will purify us in due course of time, just as the arrows of the enemies were purifying Dhruva. Now, what are these enemies? Lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion, and madness. The holy name is our friend. He is not the enemy. We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us, as that little cartoon character from the 70s said. And other enemies are also there, but the holy name is not one of our enemies. We may receive a little resistance sometimes from other people, and those are also arrows which are meant to purify us. But ultimately, all miseries, according to the Avanti Brahmana, are due to our own mind. It's the way we react to a situation that determines how we advance in spiritual life. Are we going to suffer? The question we have to hear again and again from the spiritual masters, from the Shastra, and from all the saintly persons are, do you want to continue suffering? Or do you want to get free? Any situation is available to turn our face toward Krishna. Here in this verse, we're hearing about how pain can be used as a opportunity to come closer to Krishna. This purification is means turning closer to Krishna. We can turn to Krishna through various means, such as our meditation on the Lord, or just simply as Dhruva did through his service. He felt that as a king, it was his responsibility, his dharma, to fight with the enemy. And he thought that he was doing the right service, and therefore he was purified because his attitude was to serve Krishna. Even if the result of our service didn't actually please the devotees, if our intention was correct, then the devotees will appreciate our sincerity and forgive our mistake. And then it's our then after that point, our responsibility is to become intelligent so that we don't make the same mistake again. But in any case, that sincerity is to our eternal credit. On this path, there's no loss or diminution, and even a little advancement on this path saves one from the greatest type of fear. The example of alchemy is sometimes given, the transitioning of base metal like iron into gold is analogous to the transmuting of pain into Krishna consciousness. We all experience so much pain throughout our day-to-day life. Pain is largely psychological, so we may get annoyed again and again by the same thing. It happens on a daily basis, and if we can raise our consciousness, if we can, for the sake of devotional service, if we can become more conscious and perceive, in order to perceive that beginning, the little foreshock, the little tremor which begins to arise in the heart before full-blown irritation, frustration, and anger arise, this little signal that it's about to come up, that anger is about to rise up into our consciousness. If we can identify that and observe it in the beginning stages, then we will not have to be fooled into identifying that now I am angry, because I am not the mind. The mind is angry. If we can, in the very beginning stages, identify that this is my mind being angry here. This is the mind. Okay, there he is. There's the mind. The mind's getting angry. There's the mind. Okay. So now I've developed a relationship with the mind. The mind is different than I am. I am the soul. Part and parcel of Krishna. The soul is eternally full of knowledge and bliss. The mind is eternally frustrated and upset about something or other. It feeds on this anger and frustration in order to perpetuate itself in the form known as false ego. This false ego binds us to this material bodily conception of life, this material world. It feeds on anger and pain. It seeks to find the pain in others, just as a fly seeks to find the sores on another person's body and enjoys to lick up the blood. So also our false ego, our pain body, seeks out the misery of others to sustain its existence. It knows nothing else besides pain. Krishna consciousness is the opportunity to move beyond pain. Misery may come for the body, but misery may come for the mind. But if we don't identify with the mind and with the body, then those miseries do not affect our consciousness. They don't affect our mood. Those things may come and go, like rivers that flow into the ocean, and the ocean is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires coming into the mind. Our consciousness is like that ocean, which is not disturbed by the constant rivers that flow from the mind of desire, constant desires. When those rivers start rushing in, they may come in the form of pleasure, and the pure devotee is then not disturbed in the sense that he doesn't get overly excited about some material pleasure. He may get sweet rice one day. Nice. He may get pakoras. Nice. Or he may get simple boiled rice. And it's all nice. Because what is nice? Krishna prasad is nice. Krishna is nice. But if he gets sweet rice that was not offered to Krishna, there's no interest except, now let me offer this to Krishna. And the other way that these rivers of desire may flow into the mind is in the form of anger. I didn't get what I want. Okay, I understand that, but I'm not the mind. The mind didn't get what it wants. I see you there, mind. And so I'm not disturbed, because that's happening on the outside. It's happening in the external energy. I'm deeper than that. I'm in the spiritual energy, and the material energy is going on like surface waves on the top of the ocean, but I'm deeper in the ocean. This is the condition that the great devotees I'm imitating, how they may feel. They are transcendental. They are unaffected by the surface waves of the ocean, of this material world. All the happiness and distress of the mind and body are like waves on the top of the ocean, but they are transcendentally situated deep in the holy names of Krishna, deep in the service of the Lord, and deep in the loving Vaishnava relationships that they're keeping them deep within that ocean. Either way, whether they're being purified by Krishna consciousness in the face of happiness or purified by Krishna consciousness in the face of misery, they are actually purified by Krishna consciousness. And so it's said that the arrows were washing away the impurities of Dhruva Maharaj, just like the rain was washing away the mountain, the dirt on the mountain. It's not exactly the arrows that are purifying Dhruva Maharaj, but it's Dhruva Maharaj's persistent devotional service, his heightened consciousness, spiritual identification in the face of material misery. The only thing that can actually purify us is devotional service to Krishna. Pain and pleasure are portals to bhakti. They can be portals to anything. They can be portals to the bodily identification also. The mental identification can also come from pain and pleasure. But if we respond properly to the sense stimulus, then we will be purified by that sense stimulus. This is the recommended process of Nishkam Karma Yoga. We have to work, and there will always be so much pains and so many pleasures that come in the course of that work, but we have to be Krishna conscious in the face of all of that. Well, that's tolerance. We learn this tolerance, and then the pain and the pleasure, the friends and the enemies, the celebrations and the lamentations are all portals into Krishna consciousness. They're all ingredients in our loving offerings to Krishna. This is how we mold our life in such a way that we never forget Krishna. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. This is the basic principle. And all other lessons are outgrowths or paths leading to that principle. Okay. Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.